This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, What the Puckers. How's it going? Welcome to What the Puck. Top of the morning to ye. It's St. Paddy's Day. How's everybody doing out there? We are Washington Capitals Podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me as always, thankfully, we're back this week, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. I am certainly doing better than the Caps were out west.
Yes, that was a very, very bad time to be out California dreaming last week. Before we get started talking about the Capitals, I do want to apologize to everybody out there. We didn't miss a week last week for the podcast. We try our best, you know, to never miss a week. But Coach Dan was on the road doing stuff for his job.
He was on the road,
and I got really sick. You guys know that from 2 weeks ago. Last week, I got diagnosed with Bell's palsy, so you might actually hear me, you know, popping some peas and sounding a little bit different than I do normally on the show. Half my face is paralyzed, so I can't use the left side of my face. So I'm going to try to get through this as best I can. Apologies for missing last week. I was pretty self-conscious last week about whether or not I could do this on my own or not, so I decided against it. Thank you, everybody.
Brandon, you sound good.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
You sound good, ready to go. You got a mic and you're not yelling in my ear, so I'm happy.
But let's talk about the Caps. Let's talk about what happened out in California. Some late night games, some games that the Caps maybe want back, didn't look the greatest. Coach, what happened out there? Did they have jet lag? What's going on?
I definitely would not attribute it to jet lag. I think it is they never seem to play well out west, and the trend is just continuing of they just get not dominated, but they get beat. I mean, they came back. They had a poor game against Anaheim. They were able to come back and get a win there. But then they had an ugly loss to San Jose and a pretty ugly one, an overtime loss to L.A. that they really didn't have any business being in that game.
Well, the L.A. The L.A. one, it was kind of crazy because it started off so poorly. It was, what, 3-0 in the first? But then they were actually able to come back and get a point out of it. I mean, that seems to be the M.O. for the Capitals this year.
I mean, being able to come back and get a point is definitely impressive, but the fact is it shouldn't be happening to that point. Like, they shouldn't continually be happening where they're losing these games that they just get blown out in the first period. And I remember I was at the game in the win over Carolina, and
humble brag.
I forget who scored the first goal. Williams? Was it Williams who scored the first goal in Carolina? Yeah. So he scores, and we're, oh, yeah, he scores. Man, great thing. My girlfriend turns to me and goes, hey, they actually scored first in a game. It's like, ha, holy crap, that's true. Like, when was the last time they scored first in a game? Oh, man, it was so ugly. But, yeah, no, I mean, they've had a bit of a rough spot going with the way they've been playing, and hopefully they're able to pick things up. And the fact that they're still getting points out of games when they're getting beat up so much in the first period is definitely a testament to this team in terms of that they can play well, but then it also makes you question what the hell is happening that's causing this to happen to begin with.
Well, let's talk about the fact that, you know, we're hitting into the playoffs. You know, we'll talk about the fact that they've already clinched a spot in the playoffs. You know, go Caps on that. But if you're not scoring first in the playoffs, and you know you're tying it up, you're hurting yourself by making them go to overtime so much into the playoffs. That kind of stuff is not going to fly in the playoffs. You really need to be able to come out strong. You got to play a full 60 minutes. I haven't seen a full 60 minutes from this team for the last couple weeks. I mean, I don't know if they're just not motivated because they're so far ahead of everybody else, but something's going on that these guys are not coming out, guns blazing as much as they should be. I don't know what it is, a lack of motivation. So I don't know if people are hurt or whatnot, but that worries me going into the playoffs that these guys are coming out so lackadaisical at the beginning of the game.
It's not to say without being in the locker room. And then one of the more interesting pieces of this is that the players know it. Like some of the guys, especially Chimera, have come out and they've talked about the fact that they're aware that these problems keep happening, and yet it's still happening. Like, you know something is wrong. It's like the definition of insanity. You keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. clearly whatever they're doing wasn't working, and we'll see what happens in their next game since they were able to score first against Carolina, but Carolina sucks, so it's sort of tough. But it's tough to say exactly what the problem is, considering it is continually happening. And you have to think this coaching staff is smart enough. You have to think these players are relatively smart enough to be able to fix whatever the problem is. And is it that teams are adjusting and finally adjusting to the way they're playing? I don't know. It's tough to say.
Well, I noticed after they came back from California, there was a little bit of a line jumble. Barry Trotz likes to do that. He likes to move some guys around.
He moved, like, everybody on the played right wing.
Everyone on the right wing got bumped
down.
He's,
like, shifted everybody one.
And then Jay Beagle got moved up to the first line, which I know you were probably screaming about and not happy about. But here's my question, though. Obviously, like, the lines that – there was something going on with the lines where it wasn't really working. Why move the right wing around? Because – I was thinking, why wouldn't you, if like the first line's not producing, why aren't you moving Kuznetsov up to that top line and doing the TKO line like we began the season, moving Backstrom down to the second line? Why move the right wing and not move anybody else?
Maybe part of the thought process was that they wanted more grit on that line as opposed to more skill. Mm-hmm. That he was seeing plenty of talent, but no one crashing the net, no one getting in people's faces and getting in the goalie's way and things like that. And if you want something like that, Beagle can be your guy. He doesn't have a skill set to play on the first line, but I think this is maybe a wake-up call to a lot of guys that are like, hey, you sometimes have to play dirty and you have to – not dirty in the sense like illegal, but like you have to get hit and give checks and be able to fight your way in front of the net and screen the goalie and all those sorts of fun things that need to be done.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Grubauer. Dude had a pretty tough game in San Jose. Is this just a blip?
He wasn't the only one.
Is this just a blip for Grubauer, or is this something you think we should be worried about?
Based on what we've seen so far, definitely a blip. I don't think that Grubauer is suddenly regressed. That he had, I think everyone just had a poor game in San Jose. Unfortunately, it was the night we just have to be the guy in net, and I think the next time he goes out there, he'll be just fine.
I hope so.
I'm not worried about Grubauer. I think he's one of those guys that, when we talk about expansion stuff later, he's one of those guys they're going to be worried about losing.
Ugh, yeah. I don't. Ugh. That's so. I don't even want to talk about it. We'll talk about that later. All right. So let's bring up the fact the Capitals, they've already clinched a playoff spot. This is the first time since 2009.
First team in NHL.
That's right. Yeah. First time since 2009, 2010 that they have clinched a playoff spot this early in March. You know, towards the end of the season with 13 games left. How do we keep this team motivated into the playoffs? How do we, because I mean, they're still like the President's Trophy, there's still points they can get, and you want them to remain sharp. So how do you get a team that's already kind of shown that they're like, nah, whatever, we'll get in the playoffs, you know, the last couple of weeks, how do we keep them motivated so that they're still playing hard every night?
How do we do it? That's not my problem. That's the coach's problem. Like, he's got to be the one. Sorry. But it's true. It's the coach's responsibility. These guys motivate, keep playing hard. Just because they've clinched a playoff spot doesn't mean they're where they want to be. You still want to have the opportunity to clinch home ice advantage, if that is such a thing, throughout the rest of the playoffs. You want to be able to go into it knowing that four of the potential seven games are going to be in your arena, that you have the opportunity to have your backing you for more games than the other team is going to be. So I think that right there is a chance for them to continue playing strong, as playing as hard as they can, and try and get as many points before the end of the regular season.
Now here's a
and if not, just get Holtby that record. He needs, what, six more wins to tie Brodeur?
I think so. I think six more.
Something like that.
All right, so here's another one. Here's a biggie. So Alex Ovechkin, he sat out the All-Star game. He had some lower body injuries. He was kind of nagging him a little bit. They've been brought up again. Last week it was brought up that he still kind of got that nagging lower body injury. With 13 games left and the playoffs right on the horizon already clinched, do you sit Ovechkin for his own health? Do you not play him as much? Or do you let him keep playing the game he has? Because right now, that's my biggest worry with this team, is that somebody's going to get hurt and it's going to be something that is going to affect us deep into the playoffs.
See, I wouldn't play him in back-to-backs necessarily for the next, like, 2 weeks. Like, if it's the last week or two of the season, I'm playing him as potentially as much as I can, and maybe he reduces minutes during game. Instead of playing, say, 23 minutes, he's playing 20 or 19, and you give him a little bit less time on the ice. It gives his body a little bit more of a chance to rest. But, like, for example, next weekend they have a Friday away and a Saturday at home. Maybe you don't send him to New Jersey. Mm-hmm. You let him stay home, and then you have him ready to play Saturday in St. Louis. You just give him that night off so that he has from Tuesday all the way to Saturday to rest. To some extent, that may get him off his game, but at least he's giving his body a chance to heal. And he's not worrying about traveling. Then again, New Jersey's not that far. But he has a chance to rest and heal, and then you give him another opportunity to play on Saturday. So he's still keeping his mind focused. He's still on the game and those kind of things. I don't think he's going to like it. I don't care. You need him rested and ready to play when it comes to the playoffs. So, yeah, I think you give him a little bit less minutes and you give him a game or two off, three if you really feel like it's a problem, before the end of the regular season.
Now, you do have potential now of potentially bringing up a Hershey Bear or two that have had really good seasons. We saw that last year with Stan Galiev. You also have a chance of giving Galiev a game or two at the end of this season to keep him sharp. You might have to use him in the playoffs. Who knows? But, you know, if you do sit a guy like Ovechkin, you do give some younger players a little bit of a chance to have some NHL experience, or Galiev does get some minutes in. So, I mean, I really don't see any bad thing about having Ovi sit a game or two. Unless they're, like, I don't know how many points ahead they are, or if they've secured, like, the President's Trophy or whatever, or if they're still even pursuing that. I got to imagine everybody on this team knows the Stanley Cup is the ultimate prize. Everything else is just kind of, you know, hoopla that they're not really worried about. It'd be great to get the President's Trophy. It would be great to be the number one in the East or whatever, but really everything that they do from this point out has to be preparing for the playoffs, preparing for that next set of games, because even though this is the regular season and these games are important, stuff happening mid-April is more.
There's nothing, you said it perfectly, that right now it's gearing up for the playoffs and being ready for that. And if you can take points away from teams that you may potentially see, that, you know, you want to sort of send a message to a team that you may see in the first, or if you happen to get through the first, second round, that's, you know, that's good too. But the President's Trophy, who cares? That doesn't matter anymore. They've won the President's Trophy, they've won the division. Not the Metropolitan, but they have a chance this year and a pretty good one. I think the biggest thing for them right now is to get to the third round. Get to the Eastern Conference Finals. If you can do that, now we're talking.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that Stanley Cup, of course, that's the ultimate goal, but I would really love to see them just get over that semifinal hump that they've had on their back for so long. Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
That's kind of a shorter one this week. Do you want to talk about the expansion stuff, or do you want to wait until we do around the NHL to talk about the Caps in particular?
Let's wait until around the NHL, because we'll talk about how it'll affect the whole thing.
It's going to be interesting, depending on what they decide to do. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it in the Caps world right now. I mean, the guys are doing okay. You know, the lines being shook up is interesting. I don't imagine that's going to stay that way forever. I certainly don't think they're going to go into the playoffs with Jay Beagle as the first line right wing. No offense to him, but it's just not realistic when you're going into the playoffs. I think it's maybe a little bit of a wake up to the guys, kind of like, what are you doing? You need to play better. And things will be reverting back to normal in hopefully the near future. When is their next game? Saturday? Tomorrow, right?
Friday night. Yeah, Friday night.
Yeah.
All right, so before we get out of here, though, do you have the standings of, like, who potentially could be the first-round opponent for the Capitals as it stands right now?
If you give me a moment, I could. So the first wild-card team is currently Pittsburgh.
Right.
The second is Detroit. Now, is the one playing the eighth seed?
Yes.
Right. Or is Pittsburgh, because they're in the same division as the Capitals, are they automatically put into the Metropolitan and it's Caps-Pens?
Yes, yeah. So it's...
You said yes to both. That's not helpful.
it's division, you know, it's division first, right? I think it's division first.
It's supposed to be, but, like, what if both teams were from the same division that are wild card?
Then I would think it's the lower seed.
Yeah, so I think the lower seed gets pushed into that. Okay, hold on. Oh, where do they have? Oh, playoff scenarios. There we go. Okay. ESPN always has this stupid thing. All right, so according to ESPN, who does not give a crap about hockey.
Right.
So this is no helpful. It would be the Washington Capitals against the Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Oh, the Caps. In their regular season series, went 2-1. On November 10th, they got shut out 1-0. They won 2-1 in overtime and 3-2 in a shootout. That's not as good as you'd want it to be.
But, man, the Red Wings, they know how to play playoff hockey. I mean, that's their specialty right there. Ooh, that would be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, I mean, that would be tough. I mean, right now it looks like it's going to be that or the Penguins, although the Penguins are only a point behind the Islanders and 3 points behind the Rangers. So what if it was Caps Islanders again?
Oh, God. Can we shut down the Barclays Center too?
Well, with the way things are going, that might be possible because it looks like the Islanders don't want to be there anymore. They're not drawing fans in.
The place wasn't made for hockey games.
No, and it's far away from where all their fans are. So this was it's a good idea. It just didn't work. But there's also teams like Philadelphia is only a point out of the playoffs. Yeah. New Jersey's
they won a big game last
night, 6 points out. So they're falling a little bit behind.
So really, like this could be like April 10th is when we're going to figure out who the Caps are up against in the first round.
It very much could come to the last day.
Oh, that's interesting. All right.
It could be Toronto. They're only trailing Detroit by 22 points.
Oh, poor Brooksy.
It's not going to happen.
All right. Well, that's it for what's going on in the Caps world.
Connor Carrick scored his first goal for them the other day.
And look, did you see how excited he was?
Yes. And the first guy who gave him a hug, I believe, was Brooksley.
Oh, look at that.
So it was nice for those guys to come back.
So cute. All right, well, that's it for Caps World. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Down on the Farm. But first, here is a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. I think the only real Irish guy in the Caps organization, Liam O'Brien. He's a Hershey Bear. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, two weeks since we have talked, Hershey went 3-2 with wins over Binghamton, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and St. John's, and losses to Wilkes-Barre and St. John's. Rather, just play the same teams over and over. The Bears are currently 35-17-10, good for 80 points, which puts them first in the East Division, 3 points up on second place Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The Bears will be back at it over the weekend with a home-and-home against Wilkes-Barre Scranton, Saturday away, and Sunday at the Giants Center, which I believe Sunday at the Giants Center is Dollar Hot Dog Night.
Oh, nice, yeah. All right,
so smaller hot dogs. That sounded weird. That sounded really inappropriate.
What the hell?
Well, because it's like I went to the Dollar Dog Night at Oriole Park years ago, and they were bogus. They were definitely smaller than the normal size hot dog thing you buy.
That's what she said.
Yes, it is. I know. Right when I said it in my head, I went, that was not appropriate.
So, all right, so the Bears are up against the Penguins this weekend, you said, right? Both games. So that is a lot of potential for what's going to happen with the points. If they got a couple of points away from the Penguins, they could move up.
It is a big swing one way or the other.
Yeah, it is. This is a big weekend for the Bears. So hopefully they can come out of that with a couple wins.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the plan. I mean, at 3 points up now, you win both those games, you're now up by 7.
That's great.
That is a big, big gap for them to try to make up. And if you don't, you're then down by 1. So we'll see how that goes one way or the other. In other Bears news, the team announced they have signed Caps 2014 draft pick forward Kevin Elgestal to an amateur tryout agreement, as well as had defenseman Jonas Sengenthaler reassigned to the club. Sengenthaler had been playing in Switzerland, so it's nice to see a couple of Caps draft picks finding their way to the Hershey Bears. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 4-1 with wins over Greenville and 3 over Atlanta. They own Atlanta. Atlanta is their bitch. The Stingrays are currently 36-18-7, good for 79 points, which puts them first in the South Division, one up on second place Florida. We were talking a month ago, month and a half ago, something even longer than that. The Stingrays were like 75 points back. They are now first in the South Division. The Stingrays will be back at it over the weekend with back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday at home against Florida and Sunday at home against Greenville. Another South Carolina news, rookie goalie Vitek Vanacek was named the CCM ECHL Rookie Goalie of the Week for last week. Vanacek went 2-0, with one of those being a shutout. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Now, this Vanacek kid, he's going to be making a lot of waves. I bet you he goes to the Bears next year. This is his third time, I think, being an ECHL star.
Second or third? Yeah, he's definitely not first.
He was a star of the week early on in the season. He was a star of the month in November for goaltending, and now he's a star of the week again for goaltending. I mean, this kid's definitely going to be a huge factor, either as trade bait or, you know, backing up Braden Holtby, or, you know, depending on the age group or age gap or whatever. If Braden Holtby leaves at the end of his contract, this kid might still be in the organization.
He's not going anywhere. Stop it.
That's like 6 years from now is what I'm saying. Like,
oh, good point.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be a while.
All right, I'll calm down.
But this kid is definitely showing a lot of potential. I mean, we talk about him almost every single week. He performed well at the World Juniors. This is definitely going to be a guy who's going to make an impact in a couple years. So I'm excited to see him. I would love to see him at one of the development camps again, if he's invited back. I don't know how that works. Like, if you're already a Stingray,
he might be, because he's still a young guy. Like, you've had guys that have.
I think he's only like 19.
Yeah, wasn't Garrett Hart like 5 of them in a row or something?
Yeah, I think he was. I think he plays in Alaska now. I think he's an Alaska ace.
That's a cool place to play.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, that's cool. Everybody, go Bears, go Stingrays. Bears, beat those Penguins up. Beat up those baby Pens and get those extra points that we need to get above the standings in the AHL. All right, that's it for Down on the Farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. Everybody's wearing their green practice jerseys. Those things look slick. I don't care what team you play for. They look slick this year. Crazy Chewbacca man from San Jose dressed up like a leprechaun yesterday.
I saw that. He's such a weirdo.
I wish he was a Capital just because he's
Brent
fun.
Burns.
Just because he's fun. But anyway, plenty of stuff going on around the NHL. People are celebrating the luck of the Irish, but they're also getting suspended and getting concussions. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start in Dallas, where longtime NHL forward Brendan Morrow signed a ceremonial one-day contract with the Stars so he could retire as a member of the team. Morrow played 15 seasons in the NHL with Dallas, as well as St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and Tampa Bay, scoring 265 goals and 575 points in 991 regular season games. The NHL will decide by the June draft if they will expand by one or two teams. Should they choose expansion, the league will have an expansion draft, allowing the one or two new teams to pick no more than one or two players from each NHL team. So, NHL teams are going to be allowed to protect up to 11 players, though it is not known exactly how that will work aside from only being allowed to protect one goalie. Depending on the number of expansion teams, current NHL teams can lose no more than one or two players. So, if one expansion team, one player, you can lose. Once you lost a player, they're not allowed to pick from you anymore. Two teams, you can lose two players, I think one to each team, but don't quote me on that. But after you've lost those two players, you're not allowed to lose anybody else. So teams are definitely going to be affected by this. Odds are you're going to lose a third-line player, potentially a top six, depending on who you want to protect, as well as potentially your backup or potential future goalie, depending on who you decide to protect. The Penguins are going to be an interesting situation. I was reading online as to whether they want to protect Marc-Andre Fleury or their, what's his name? Matt Martin or something that is their, or Matt Murray, whatever his name is, that's sort of like future goaltending super kid or whatever his name is. They haven't announced how players with no movement clauses will be affected by this. They have to come to an agreement with the NHL Players Association in regards to what they're going to do with that, because if they're like, well, we're moving, and you're like, no, you're not, because in my contract says you're not allowed to. That'll be interesting. And as to whether teams will have to protect those players or are they automatically ineligible to be selected. So that'll be fun to see how they decide to do that. First and second year professional players will not be eligible to be selected. But I can't think of any Caps players where that's going to make a big deal going forward. The earliest that this will happen will be in June of 2017. So it won't happen this summer. They'll decide this summer. And then if they do expansion, if the expansion is for the 2017-2018 season, next June in 2017, they will just have the draft then. If it's the following season, it'll probably be the following June and so on and so forth. The NHL also announced that the salary cap is projected to rise from $71.4 million to $74 million next season. Goalies may find that their pads are shrinking as the league is looking at requiring goalie pads to be smaller. Now, the idea here is to separate the athletic goalies from the ones who get lucky because they have large pads. One goalie that is for this plan, Caps netminder Braden Holtby.
Oh, really?
He likes this idea. He likes the idea. He wants to show that goaltenders are actually good and not just have massive pads that can stop the puck. The league also discussed, and some of these I do not like, and I'm pretty sure it's all of them, calling icing for teams on the PK, allowing the power play to continue for the full 2 minutes no matter if a goal was scored, and instituting a time limit a player is allowed to hold the puck behind the goal before moving it. Think the three-second rule in basketball.
Yeah.
I don't like the icing for teams on the PK. I think you should be allowed to dump it.
Right.
You're already down a man. Why are you handicapping them for being able to get the puck out of their zone? The full 2 minutes would be interesting.
Yeah, it would be. I'm kind of intrigued by that one.
I'm not sure if that's really going to make that big of a difference. You have to go and look at how many power play goals are actually scored versus how many are not. Right. And, like, you know, how many are in the last, like, 30 seconds? So what are the odds that you're going to get another goal? So I don't think that one will make a drastic change necessarily. Overall, you may have some games that can swing one way or the other. It could be like a 5-6 point difference, maybe even 10 point difference for a team during the season. But the whole behind the net thing is stupid. That's dumb. Like that, if the guy's gonna hold, they're not there for that long anyways.
That's gonna be the one that actually goes through.
And you're like, what?
Of those three, that's the one that will definitely be approved. I 100% say that. I can understand that though, like, because there have been teams that I've seen that there's like 10 seconds left on the in the period and they just kind of sit back there. So I can see the NHL wanting you to use that that time on the clock a little bit better.
That's a good point. Maybe institute it in terms of, no, it's going to be too stupid. If you like, all right, in the last minute of a game or last minute of a period, the 3 second rule or however long it'll be goes into effect.
Is that what you do? Maybe. If you drop something like food on the floor, you're 3 seconds, not 5 seconds?
Dude, the 5 second rule on food is BS. That's not real. Brandon, I feel like we need to talk.
I go with like a 5 day rule. And I'm like, ooh, look at that Oreo.
That's disgusting.
All right, so let's talk about the expansion stuff here. Number one, I think the owners are going to say, yes, we're going to expand, and then the players will shut it down because we
know. Where are they going?
We know how well.
Players won't shut it down. It's more jobs.
The Players Association.
They'll love it.
They're going to be like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. It's going to be years before it happens because we saw what happened with the lockout. These two groups don't play well together. So if they're going to do like, well, you know, if you have a clause that says you're not allowed to move or whatever, we're just going to get rid of that. You know,
I think the players will love it because it's more jobs and more money for players because there's more opportunities and your NHL contract pays you more than your AHL contract. So there's a decent amount of guys. Maybe not decent enough, but there's going to be some guys that are getting paid more because these teams have to fill their rosters. I think both are going to go for it. But I do find it weird that arguably the fourth biggest sport in the NHL, in the country, and I guess two countries since it's Canada as well, is going to have more teams than both the NBA and Major League Baseball.
Oh, that's interesting.
They'll have the same amount of teams as the NFL, which I find very weird considering the NFL is, I don't even think it's arguable anymore, but they are the number one sport in the U.S.
Yeah.
But then it'd be interesting because I don't know whether it's NBA or Major League Baseball that are second and third. I mean, the NHL, hockey is fourth. It's an unfortunate reality. But for them to be adding teams, I find to be very interesting, considering they have some pretty crappy teams out there, Toronto Maple Leafs.
I don't know where it's going to land. I don't know where it's going to land. Of course, Vegas says that they want a team really bad. They're building a
new arena. I think Vegas is going to be one without question.
But Quebec City, wasn't that the other one that was supposed to be a big deal?
So there's some concern apparently about the Canadian dollar. I don't know if that's still the case or what it is, but I believe there's some concern regarding the Canadian dollar and whether it's strong enough.
Well, with the amount of people that are moving to Canada once Donald Trump becomes president, they're going to have
plenty. That's true. It's going to go up.
Yeah, they're going to have plenty of money by November or whatever, you know.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see which I would love for it to be Quebec. It's the West already has two less teams, and I don't think they can move anybody else. So, are they going to screw with the divisions again?
Oh, absolutely.
To incorporate, oh God, this is going to get so.
That's why the Metropolitan and the Atlantic.
Oh, they're going to bring back the Southeast.
Yeah, like that's why the Metropolitan Atlantic even exists, because like, why would you have the two Florida teams be up against, you know, like Boston and all the northern teams? I mean,
they couldn't split up the Atlantic ones. They weren't going to split up any of the New York area teams. They weren't going to split those guys up, and they weren't going to move the Caps and the Flyers. All had to be in there, so they were kind of screwed.
Man.
That I mean, the whole NHL and the divisions are stupid, and I don't know what they're going to do with adding these two new teams. I mean, you could easily just, I guess, incorporate Vegas into the Pacific and Quebec into the Northeast or the Atlantic or whatever they're calling it, and call it a day, and just make no effing sense.
I know Seattle was in the mix for a little bit, but I think they're completely out of it.
I don't think they're getting a team unless they decide to move someone. Then it's possible.
Yeah, I don't see
that. Sorry, Arizona. Whatever. That's possible. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it looks like it's potentially going to be Vegas and Quebec. Quebec. As they say.
All right. Well, that
was... we got some more NHL news, but before we do that, let's talk about the Caps players, or do you want to go through the NHL news first?
No. Let's do the Caps stuff. So, expansion-wise, you're saying can't be a first-year rookie or a second-year rookie.
Which I don't think that's going to matter for any of the Caps guys. I think at that point, it's after next season.
Well, let's think about this for a second. So, let's say you're thinking about bringing a Hershey Bear that's done well up next year. He'll be a first-round rookie. Keep him in the AHL?
It's not a matter of professional player, not NHL player. So playing in the minors, I think, counts.
Oh, it counts. Okay.
I think. So we're looking at Burakovsky would have to be protected, I believe. I think he's the one they most will have to worry about in terms of protecting. Oh, I don't know, actually. Because, like, Sangin Thaler will... No, I don't think that will count. Because I don't know if this year counts towards his contract.
I would say no, since it's so late in the season.
I don't know. But it's going to be interesting. I don't think teams will necessarily be going after them. I think the idea here is to make these teams as competitive as possible. So they're going to look for guys that are going to make an impact right now.
All right, so I'm saying if this was going to happen to the Caps team as it stands right now, there are two names that I could potentially see being taken away in an expansion. I could see...
Well, who are you protecting first?
Well, of course, and you're protecting Ovi, you're protecting Backe, you're protecting Kuznetsov, you're protecting Holtby. Those are your big ones right there.
I think you get five more?
Carlson, Alsner, Niskanen. I guess, did I say Oshie?
I guess obviously. They're going to have to resign him after next season.
Oh, yeah.
But I imagine that'll be happening. I mean, he'll be 30, going on 31 at that point. But I still imagine he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
I would protect... I guess Burakovsky, Orpik maybe. I mean, his career.
I think you're up. I think you're out of guys. Geez. No, you have one more.
I'm just going to protect. But I'm protecting everyone. But the two, Beagle, of course, I protect Beagle, of course, too. The two names I could see potentially leaving this team, I can see Orlov being taken away, and I can see Marcus Johansson being taken away.
Interesting.
Johansson has been very good at that third line center position. He's done such a good job moving into that spot after Jay Beagle got hurt. I thought he's done great this season. However, last year, you know, they went to arbitration. He wanted a long-term deal. The Caps didn't want to give it to him. They gave him a one-year deal to prove himself. Now, if you were to move somebody, I think financially you move him because he's shown he can do a good job, but are you going to pay that much for a third-line center? I think a new team would potentially want somebody like Johansson because he could move up to the second or first line for a different team with not as much talent on it as the Capitals have. So Johansson financially would make sense. Orlov, I can see going because he has done well this year. He's looked good, but he hasn't really progressed into the player I think a lot of people were expecting him to. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything bad about him. I like him. I think he's done a good job, but he has taken a lot of dumb penalties. He has caused a lot of problems with the defense, and I could see him being taken away.
You just said he was not a very good player, and yet you see him being taken.
No, he's good. He's an NHL caliber player, but he does make some dumb mistakes.
No, I agree he could get taken. I think I'm protected. So if it's up to be 11 players, like I've read it could be 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 1 goalie is what you're allowed to protect. And then I saw like 9 skaters and 1 goalie. So I'm not sure exactly, but if it's 11 players, I'm protecting the first line. Ovechkin back from Oshie, obviously. I'm protecting the second line. With the exception of Justin Williams, I'm protecting Kuznetsov and Burakovsky. So, hold on, 5. Wilson is 6. I get 1 more forward. Ooh. See, it'll be interesting to see who else is on the team at that point. I'm not protecting Chimera if he's still here. He probably won't be. I'm not protecting Jay Beagle because I don't think I'm going to lose him.
Jerk.
Shut up. I'm not protecting, if he's still here, Mike Richards because I don't think I'm going to lose him. I'm not protecting Lotta. I'd be tempted at that point to protect Galiev, but it'll be interesting. I think that spot will be taken up by someone who's potentially not on the roster at this point. 3 defensemen, it's Carlson, Alsner, and Niskanen, no question. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to take Orpik because of that contract and his age at that point. I don't know if anyone's going to take Orlov, but that's a possibility. But I feel like if you lose Orlov with Sagan, Thaler, and Bowie and Juice coming through the minors, I'm not that concerned if you lose Orlov. Like, you have a chance to replace him with someone either through free agency or one of the young guys. And remember, this is after next season, so these guys will have had the rest of the season and next season to progress. So I'm not too distraught if I lose Orlov. Schmidt, I'd hate to lose him, but I don't think he's going to get taken, nor do I think that Taylor Chorney will get picked up. But those guys, if you do, it's not the end of the world. It's disappointing, but again, you still have guys from the minors. And obviously, I'm protecting Holpe. The two guys that I think you could lose are Philip Grubauer and, like you said, Marcus Johansson. I think with teams that are looking for quality goaltending are going to want to pick up Grubauer via trade. So if you're going to do that, why not get him for free?
Right.
In a draft like that. And the Capitals don't have the opportunity to hang on to him. So I think I wouldn't be surprised at all if it came down to this, that the Caps actually trade Grubauer to a team and are able to get more because the team wants to be able to pick him up before he potentially gets taken by the expansion team in the draft. So I think Grubauer is potentially moved so the Caps don't lose him for nothing at some point in the future. I would not be surprised at all to see that happen going forward. But I think if the Grubauer's still on the team by the time we get to the expansion draft, he's gone. I just don't see there's any way that he's back on this roster at that point. It also depends on what the other teams decide to do and who they want to pick up and how many players they're going to take on what other people are left out there. I mean, if there could be a ton of goalies that they're like, well, screw that, we'll take these guys. They're more proven at this point than Grubauer is and will give us a better shot at winning right now.
And like we said, we're pretty stacked right now for goaltenders. I mean, you do have Justin Peters at the Hershey level. You do have
Dan, all right, settle down.
You do have Dan Ellis at the Hershey level, and then we have
Vitek
Vanacek at the Stingrays.
There you go.
So we are pretty stacked right there, and we just drafted a goalie,
Sergei Samsonov.
So really,
is that his last name?
I think it is Samsonov. I said it was off.
Is something with an S and something with a... We got Vitek Vanacek, 2 V's, and then 2 S's.
Samsonite.
Like, you have these guys come. That would be cool. We have these two guys coming through. So I think if you lose Grubauer, I think you go for a young Flair. Maybe that's the guy that you're protecting when you move out Grubauer, or a decent draft pick or some prospects that you potentially hang on to that you don't have to worry about protecting going forward. I definitely think, obviously, Ovechkin backs from Oshie are going to be protected because Netzoff a given, Burakovsky is a given, and I think Wilson is going to be a given to be protected as well. I think if he's out there, he does. And it could be Galiev, but I don't know. I don't believe he's on the roster at that point anymore. It's a possibility. I just don't necessarily see it happening. And I do think the Caps will end up losing two players, depending on if they move out Grubauer or not. If they don't move, if they move Grubauer, it's possible they only lose one.
Right.
But again, this is a full season from now, so who knows what the roster will look like at that point. Crazy. It's going to be interesting.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun to talk about on the podcast, but crazy to think about that, that you kind of have to, you have to worry about your team coming up. You have to worry about it in the next season. You have to worry about players just kind of being like picked right out from under you. I mean, it's,
yeah, I mean, we're going to see some interesting moves made by NHL GMs going into this thing, whenever it may happen.
Yeah. All right. What else we got going on around the NHL?
Well, we got a whole bunch of suspensions in the last 2 weeks. Columbus defenseman Dalton Prout was suspended for one game for punching Tampa Bay forward Nikita Kucherov. That's not nice. Colorado forward Gabriel Landeskog was suspended 3 games for cross-checking Anaheim's Simon Dupre. That's rude. Edmonton's Darnell Nurse, he's got a goofy last name, was suspended for 3 games for playing the aggressor in a fight against San Jose defenseman Roman Polak. Phoenix's Jared Tenorti was suspended for 20 games for violating the terms of the performance-enhancing substances program. Tenorti says he did not knowingly take a banned substance, but either way, it looks like he's going to be sitting out for a significant period of time. And staying in Phoenix, Max Domi was suspended for 1 game for instigating a fight in the last 5 minutes of play. That is a given if you do that. If you instigate a fight in the last 5 minutes, you are automatically suspended for 1 game. That's the news from the past 2 weeks in the NHL.
All right, well, it's just about 2 weeks, 3 weeks left in the NHL season. It's going to be a fun couple weeks to go as we see the Stanley Cup playoffs take form. If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, it's easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. We are both on Twitter. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find some of my old writings and some I can't speak anymore. I was going to say phenomenal and fantastic. It turned into fantastic writings over at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, have you gotten any new bobbleheads recently?
I have no bobbleheads, and no one got me one of the Holt Beast action figures. They're like,
those things are stupid.
They're like $40 on eBay. None of you,
that, really?
None of you jerks picked me up one. Come on, guys.
You know what? I would like to say thank you to everyone who didn't get Brandon one because they're dumb. I did get a Funko Pop bobblehead Spider-Man recently.
Oh, nice. Nice.
That has nothing to do with hockey, though.
No. Well, let me tell you when they do a special Spider-Man for Civil War, it's going to be the Funko Pop of Spider-Man holding the
trailer was great.
Holding that shield. That is I can already see it being made.
I will get that one. I will have two Spider-Men.
Spider-Man.
Two Spittermans. Two Spittermans.
Now he just sounds like a lawyer at law.
Spitterman and Spitterman.
Call Roger Spider-Man.
Spitterman. It's the Spittermans. But yes, that's Capitals Out. They don't have any Spittermans there. CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, tell me about Brando Cash Entertainment.
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, as well as on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. So make sure you sign up, like us, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Now, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, you stream, and you download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. All we ask in return is for you guys to please spread the word about What the Puck. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Periscope and any other social site on the webs. on the interwebs. Let them know I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's talk about the games coming up until we talk again. On Friday, March 18th, the Capitals are at home up against the Predators. That game is at 7 o'clock, and that will be on Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Sunday, March 20th, the Capitals are in Pittsburgh, in the Berg, up against the Gwins. That game, oh man, that game is at 6 o'clock on Sunday. No overtime.
What?
No overtime, guys. We got the Walking Dead that night, okay?
That's true. I don't have my soccer game until 10:40 that night, so I got plenty of time.
What?
I don't even want to talk about it. We got to watch the Pens game. I get to watch Walking Dead and most of Talking Dead. Well, actually, that's not really true. Less than half. But before I have to go to my game, it's kind of stupid.
Man, that is nuts.
It's a little ridiculous.
And then that game is on NBC Sports. And then on Tuesday, March 22nd, the Capitals are in Ottawa up against the Senators. That game starts at 7:30 on Comcast Sportsnet. So that is pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Thank you guys so much for listening to us and sticking with us. Sorry again about last week not doing a show, but here we are. We'll be back next week. Everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.